You'd like to turn with me to 2 Peter, me in chapter 2 and chapter 3 today. I'm going to start off with 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and then hop over to the end of the book, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. So, 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men, and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, if you have been following your newsletter, you're probably looking at what I've been doing the past 2 weeks going, what is going on? We were supposed to be in Galatians, now we're all over the board. Well, the Spirit works in mysterious ways and guides in ways that if I try to plan and we go by my plan, it's going to end up in ruin. So we follow God's plan, and the Spirit led us in a different direction. And past couple weeks, when we looked at Galatians chapter 1, we talked about how there would be false gospels, which, as Paul said, is no gospel at all. And then we transitioned from there into saying, okay, what were some of these imposters or the counterfeits that would be brought up? And last week, we kind of went over very briefly and in general some of the early church heresies that came up, and we talked about how Jesus is fully God, is fully God, and is fully man. Because the early heresies had to do with either denying the humanity of God or denying the deity of Jesus. So that's what the early church was dealing with. And so we're going to fast forward in history a little bit, and as I mentioned to in the children's sermon, that's coming up on Halloween is actually Reformation Day. And what I wanted to kind of go over with you is the principles that came out of the pre-Reformation and then the Reformation authors, and why this is important. Because the creeds and the councils, they had solidified who God is, who Jesus is, and the church started moving forward. But like most things, when we start gathering in big groups, we have more organization and the kind of dirty word people hear about church is the institution of the church. And over about 1,000 years, because fast forwarding to the 1300s, the organization has started to cast a shadow over what it taught. The church itself was overshadowing the gospel of Jesus. And there were the people in the 12th century, like Peter Waldo in France, and then in the 1300s, you had John Wycliffe, and then after him, John Huss, and they were all seeing something within the church and saying, guys, this is not quite right, and we need to come back to the foundation of the gospel. We need to come back to Scripture and seeing Jesus. As they were seeing things like the Scriptures only being in Latin coming from the Catholic Church. And people like John Wycliffe said, hey, let's give the Scriptures to the people in a language they can understand. But of course, he was condemned by the church. And interesting thing about John Wycliffe, he was actually considered the morning star of the Reformation. Kind of interesting title. It sounds pretty, but if you think about when is the darkest part or coldest part of the night, and that's right before dawn, we have stars in the sky, and you see the morning star showing that dawn is about to come. The light is about to shine through. And so John Wycliffe has been called the morning star of the Reformation because his voice carried out in bringing about these topics, speaking against the organization overshadowing the gospel. And so then we come to Martin Luther, who famously nailed his 95 Theses to the church door and started this whole thing we call Reformation. But what was it all talking about? And so I wanted to have us briefly go over the five principles that came out of the Reformation and kind of discuss why they're important. So I'm going to go over two this week, because I'm doing a little history part, kind of giving you context. So we're going to do two this week, and then next week we're going to go over the three of them. So the first one is solus scriptura, meaning Scripture alone. In essence, what the Reformers were trying to say to the church and say to the people is, the only authority, the final authority in anything we do, in anything we talk about, is going to be the Scriptures. If you're trying to teach and have authority, you need to be based in Scripture. I've said it before, the only authority I have to stand here and preach is from the Scriptures themselves. And then the Scriptures tell us that false teachings will come, false prophets will come, and we need to focus on the truth of the gospel. So if we hear teachings and philosophies that start to contradict the Scriptures, we need to be able to have the Scriptures in our minds and say, no, the authority is from Scripture, and that philosophy that you're teaching is contrary to the Scripture. Interestingly enough, when, going to go back into history a little bit, the Council of Nicaea, the way they ratified the canon, some people will say that they wrote the Bible in 325, that's one of the things you'll hear from critics, is they ratified the canon of the New Testament based on several different criteria. And one of the criteria is if there was a writing that came out and was being circulated around that contradicted the accepted canon of Scripture of the Old Testament, that would be thrown out. Like you hear of these other, the Gospels that came out in the 200s and 300s. I think one of them was like the Gospel of Judas or something. So these weird things that come out, it contradicts Scripture, therefore it was rejected. So that's what the Reformers were trying to say is, it's Scripture alone that has authority. So if you're trying to push a philosophy or anything else that is contrary, that is a false teaching. So the other one that came out within the Reformation was the solus Christus, in Christ alone. Now, I went over a lot of this principle last week when I was talking about Jesus being fully God and fully man, and the only way for us to have salvation is for that doctrine to be true, and it is the reality. So when we look at Christ alone, what are we talking about? Well, what Luther and the other reformers were pushing back against is back in the 1500s, the Catholic Church was kind of divvying out grace from the priests based on the sacraments. And Luther saying, it's in Christ alone that we are saved. It's not any work of man that we are saved, but it is Christ alone that we are saved. And so, since we went over a lot of that, and that's our core doctrine, and we know that part, I want to focus a little bit on why are these important? Why are the five solas of the Reformation important principles to keep in our minds, in our hearts? Is because they give us a foundation. Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, and to God be the glory. To only God be the glory. Nothing else gets glory besides God. These are foundational principles that if we hold on to and hold on to the scriptures and to Christ and faith and grace, we cannot be swayed when the false teachers do come. Because as Peter warns, there will be false prophets. And we see that all the time in different ways things pop up. And so let's kind of bring this to here and now. We know that Christ alone gives us salvation. But are there things in our lives that we tend to build up that may start to overshadow the gospel? One of the videos I was watching this past week, a pastor was saying that he had gone over to Europe and was trying to visit this beautiful cathedral. And when he got there, there was kind of refurbishing going on. There was huge scaffoldings everywhere, and it was overshadowing what he initially had come to look at. And he was given that as an illustration of how the things we build up can start overshadowing or masking the gospel of Jesus. And one of the things as I consider, how do we interact with our community? How do we spread the gospel of Jesus? How do we tell people about the love of Christ, and what do they see when they look at Big C Church, as in the body of Christ? Have we started to build scaffoldings around the gospel message that we have been entrusted with? I haven't come to a conclusion on that. I'm just putting that question out there for us to meditate on, to pray about, as we say, we acknowledge Scripture alone as our authority. As we proclaim that Jesus is the only salvation, this is only coming through Jesus can we get to the Father. That may not be a popular sentiment today, but it's the reality. And that's one of the things that we have to hold on to and proclaim the love of Christ. But is there anything that we have built up that would prevent someone else from seeing that love of Christ in our lives? Are there things that we hold in higher authority? We may not even think that we've done it, but are there idols in our minds? We may have created a God in our minds, because that tends to come up when we think of, oh, God should act this way in this situation. I think God should act this way in that situation. We try to create God in our image rather than saying we are created in His image and He is the only way to be saved. So I would encourage all of us to meditate and pray on, are we holding the Scripture as our authority? Are we proclaiming Christ alone as salvation? And I would encourage you to do some research as we come up on Reformation Day and read through a lot of the early church fathers' works and also the works of the Reformers and the pre-Reformers, like Peter Waldo, John Wycliffe, John Huss, Martin Luther, John Calvin. I know some of his stuff is very heady and hard to get through, but a lot of this hard work has already been done, and we get to stand on the shoulders of the church fathers and get the insight of the Scripture that God has given them. There's so much information out there for us these days that we are blessed in that fact. But always remember that whatever we read, Scripture is the final authority on everything we do. So as I mentioned, next week we're going to go over the other three solas and dive deeper into this idea of the Reformed theology and why it's so important. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for the wonderful Scriptures that you have given us. We thank you for the body of Christ that you have built up, that we may gather together to strengthen one another, to comfort one another, and to come together as the body of Christ to do your will, your mission, bringing about your glory here on earth. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus on the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And we thank you for the resurrection, that through Christ and Christ alone, we are saved. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.